Blog Talk Radio.
The extra point is up, and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard. Just waiting, hoping, wondering, will the rain stop and the Skins have a sunny, sunny practice? Here at Bond Secure's Trainer Camp, Washington Redskins training camp facility, home away from home, home to the defending, was that 2013 when they won the NFC East? It's been a minute now. Come on, Jay Gruden. You holding on to that thing for you got one title in 4 years. Couldn't score a touchdown the other night. But we're going to talk about that a little bit later. We got a great show today. This show today will be relevant. And the reason why it's relevant is because it's the Extra Points Radio Show. And our guest is former Mr. Irrelevant, Larry Wonkey. What a story this guy has. Larry Wonkey was the last person selected in the NFL draft. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Mr. Irrelevant, it's an award that's been passed down now for a couple decades, and it's always awarded to the guy who's picked last in the league. And there have been some good ones, and I just wanted to make sure everyone, as we kick off the NFL season, don't forget the guy that got drafted last, because some of those guys have made a real difference, not only on the field, but off. So we definitely are excited to have Larry Wonkey on the show today. But as always, we've got to start our show with our pay attention topic. And for those new listeners, and we're growing new listeners every week, for those new listeners, the pay attention topic is that story that's kind of off the beaten trail a little bit. No one's really thinking about it right now, but it'll come out to play out where it'll affect the sports world down the road. So we always try and be real prophetic with that. So the pay attention topic is here. It's upon us. And we got three things that we always say could be pay attention topic. And one of them is Coach Mike Gundy. Now, I think I'm selecting Coach Mike Gundy. He's the head football coach at Oklahoma State. I think I'm selecting him because I looked at my school, the University of Pittsburgh. We play Oklahoma State this year. And I thought about Coach Gundy, and for those of you that aren't familiar with him, his record it's okay. It's an okay record. He's winning about 67% of his games. So over 13 years, he's 104 wins, 50 losses. That's really just okay. His bowl record is even worse. In 11 bowl games, which means two of those years he didn't even get to a bowl, his record is 7-4, 63% winning percentage, which gets a lot of guys fired, but Mike Gundy's been able to hold his job. But Mike Gundy's actually not known for his one-loss record. He's actually known for the I'm 40 speech that he did at a press conference several years ago. He was actually 37 when he said it. But he told one of the sports writers in town, was really harsh on one of the players. And Coach Gundy really defended the player. And if you go on YouTube, this thing's had over 1 million hits. Everyone knows the I'm 40 speech this year. That's how old. For 13 years, people have been watching this. So, hey, Coach Gundy, kudos to you. And kudos to an absolute lifetime epic press conference. So good for you for standing up for your players. Win some games this year. Don't win the Pitt game. Here's the other thing we could talk about. Ezekiel Elliott. I think the NFL got it absolutely right. I know there's going to be an appeal, but for those of you that haven't heard, Dallas Cowboy running back and NFL Rookie of the Year Ezekiel Elliott was suspended yesterday for 6 games without pay, which is unusual of a punishment for the league. But I think after the Ray Rice incident and some others, the league is not going to be embarrassed this time around. And oh, by the way, you know, we don't know all the evidence because it was a grand jury, so everything's sealed up. But I think for the NFL, they got enough information to lead them to believe that, hey, this guy is guilty as charged, and he's going to pay. And I think just looking at some of the figures, this is going to cost him about $500,000 in salary. So not only that, but there's question about whether or not he's going to learn his lesson from this. So I wasn't aware that Ezekiel had character issues. I thought he was kind of a model guy at Ohio State. I didn't really follow him that closely. But I did know when he got in the league, he made some errors. And then, of course, this big error with domestic violence, which cannot, will not be tolerated, shouldn't be tolerated on the field or off. So good for the league for standing up and saying, absolutely not. We're not putting up with this nonsense. Now, here's the thing. What do the Cowboys do now? They've got an aging, oft-injured veteran in Darren McFadden, who I still think is extremely talented. However, I'm pulling for Alfred Morris, former Redskins. Alf is unceremoniously cut by the Skins. He's third string now with the Cowboys. The guy's still very effective. Let us not forget it was just a few years ago. He rushed for 1,600 yards, which is about 100 yards a game. So the guy's a good player. He's got another window here. And you know how this league is, not for long. So while Jerry Jones will argue his case, and I'm sure the union will make an appeal, could be out as up to 8 games if you read the fine print. So I think it'll definitely be 6. Now, there's talk about maybe getting cut in half, which would bring it down to 3, which is, you know, I think Tom Brady kind of got some leniency. But maybe the league says, no, we're not going to do that again. So we'll see what happens. We'll absolutely see what happens. We could talk about that for a minute. But here's another thing I want to talk about. The University of Miami Hurricanes, outstanding football program, is probably the team of the decade in the 80s and the 90s, arguably, both decades. They're going to put up their ring of honor this upcoming weekend. And I just looking at the names of the guys that they have that's going to join this ring of honor, let me just go down the list. Ed Reed. So everyone knows Ed Reed went on, I mean, a vicious safety, vicious hitter, played free and strong safety for them, blocked kicks, punts, returned kicks, did everything, and then went on to really, I think, a Hall of Fame career with the Ravens, 2 Super Bowls, and now he's coaching as an intern. Ed Reed's a phenomenal player. He's an NFL Hall of Famer. He'll get a yellow jacket. Warren Sapp. Warren Sapp redefined defensive line play. While 300 pounds, he ran like a corner. And while he's had some off-the-field troubles after his career, during his career, he was one of those rare guys that could play nose guard, 3-technique tackle, and you know, arguably probably could have played and probably could have played middle linebacker. Great career at Tampa, won a Super Bowl there. I don't know about Hall of Fame for Warren Sapp. I think if it does happen, it's going to take a long time just because some of the off-the-field stuff and because he's played D-line, which unless you're in and get a lot of sacks, that's going to be a challenge. But what a great honor for Warren Sapp. Michael Irvin, again, probably the greatest receiver that the Cowboys have ever had. That's saying a lot when they had Drew Pearson and some Bullet Bob from Hayes, who was a track guy and then came into the NFL. Michael Irvin won 3 Super Bowls. He's part of the triplets. He'll go down in Cowboy lore as an all-time great, and he already is in the NFL Hall of Fame. So here's another guy, Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis, absolutely. He's going to go down arguably as the best middle linebacker to ever play the game. He definitely was at the U, no doubt about that. Tackling machine. And I think the great thing about Ray is not only his leadership on the field, but he backed it up with his play. Even in the twilight of his career. That Super Bowl game, Ray Lewis kind of won the game for the Ravens with his defense against Colin Kaepernick. So, you know, this is an outstanding class of you guys that, you know, and Ray Lewis will go to the NFL Hall of Fame first ballot. So you got that going. And then, of course, Sean Taylor. So Sean Taylor, it will be the last person inducted into this year's group of you Hall of Fame Ring of Honor guys. And, you know, everyone knows the story there. Great Redskin. You know, he'll go down as one of the 50 greatest of all time. And he, too, redefined the game. You know, safeties were a lot smaller before Sean Taylor. Sean Taylor was as big as a linebacker and ran like a corner. So it'll be real interesting to see how that all works out. We got some, we clearly got some Redskin fans who are here tonight, here today, and walking by. Hello, Redskin fan. Good to see you. So we got some Skins fans coming in early, which is great. And they got their tents and they got their hats and they're ready to go. That's cool. So what a class for the U. I mean, this is outstanding. So, but we could talk about that for a while, but here's what we're going to talk about. And this pay attention topic, no one's talking about it now, but someone's going to be real soon. I know the season hasn't started yet, but guess what? They're already talking about guys getting fired in the NFL, not for long. So let me tell you who the first three are that's going to go. John Fox. So John Fox, once at a University of Pittsburgh practice, and I've told this story before on the Extra Points radio show, told me he'd rip my lips off and send me back to D.C. Well, guess what, John? It's your turn for your lips to get ripped off because you're going to get fired. If you don't get Trubisky in the game early this season, you'll be gone, I would say, by week 8. By halfway through the season, you'll already be gone, John. So I hope that doesn't happen to you. I don't want your lips to be ripped off and sent back to wherever you came from. But let me tell you something. You are on the hottest of seats, John. So good luck with you. Next guy, Chuck Pagano. Pagano strong, Chuck strong. Hey, it's a great story. The guy beat cancer. I love it. Inspired everybody, all that. But you aren't winning any games if you got the highest paid player in Andrew Luck. You're not winning enough games. You got to win games. You got an owner in Irsay who doesn't play around. Not going to be, you know, I mean, I think he's been patient enough, but I think his patience is running out. If you start out 1-3 or 2-5, see you wouldn't want to be you. You're going to be gone. There's no doubt about it. So good luck, Coach Pagano, but I think it's going to be a struggle. Next guy. This is sad because I'm always pulling for black coaches. I'm always pulling for them. But Todd Bowles, you can't be in New York. You've got the charisma of a rock. It ain't happening, buddy. It ain't. I love him because he's a Redskin. He's a former Redskin. But he does not have what it takes in a major media market, the number one market, to survive. And they're going to be terrible. You know, I was reading an article on Christian Hackenberg the other day. They don't know who their quarterback's going to be. So, Todd Bowles, you're going to be out. Now, here are the guys that are on the hot seat, but it's not too hot. Marvin Lewis, another former Pitt guy. Marvin, you haven't done anything when you get to the playoffs, you don't win the game. You're in trouble. This one makes me sad. John Harbaugh. But I think, again, you got an owner in Steve Bisciotti who doesn't play around. Makes rash decisions, and, you know, it's what have you done for me lately? They didn't make the playoffs last year. They've given Flacco a ton of money. He's done nothing since he got the money, and already they have so many injuries already that the team's pretty much shredded. So they're going to have to try and gut it out, and I don't think that's going to be enough. So I hope John can hang in. Jim Caldwell at the Detroit Lions. Jim, the reason why you're going to be gone is because you got Terrell Austin sitting right there, and I'm pulling for Terrell. And, again, the Lions, with all that talent, Matthew Stafford and that, they aren't winning any playoff games. They didn't go to the playoffs last year, so that's going to be a problem. Bill O'Brien, hey, the Texans want to win, and they want to win now. They you know, and Bill O'Brien has never been really loyal to anybody. So I think they fire him before he quits on them. So So I think Bill O'Brien's in that next one. Now, let me tell you who's on a cool seat. It would take $15 million to do it, but it's been done before. I'm going to see you later on this afternoon. Don't think your seat's cold. No, it's not. The only cold seat is Bill Belichick. Your seat's lukewarm. It'll cost them $15 million to get rid of you, but they've spent more to get rid of coaches. Ask Marty Schottenheimer. Ask the guy you replaced. So let me tell you something, Jay. I got you at 3-13. You finish 3-13, I don't know what might happen. I don't know what might happen. So, hey, we got stuff going on. So what I want to do now is take a quick break. And once we come back from break, we're going to have Larry Waukee on to talk about being Mr. Irrelevant. That guy's very relevant nowadays. Points Radio Show. Chuck is right. We do need money, money, money. I don't know if you get money for being drafted Mr. Irrelevant. Mr. Irrelevant, for those of you that don't know, is the last person selected in the NFL football, the NFL draft. And I don't know if you get like an extra bonus or whatever it is, but we're about to find out because our next guest, Larry Waukee, classmate of mine at the University of Pittsburgh, was that guy. He is, well, was, Mr. Irrelevant. So let's see if we got him on the air. Mr. Irrelevant, Larry Waukee, are you there?
Yes, my friend. How are you, Keith?
I'm good. I'm good, Larry. Thanks for joining us on the Extra Points Radio Show. We're out here at Redskins training camp this Saturday morning. It's a little soggy, but we got to get the practice in. Hey, I got a lot of listeners listening in because they want to know, you know, what in the world, first of all, what was the path to get to Mr. Irrelevant? And that's where I met you, which was on the sideline at the University of Pittsburgh, number 8. I remember it like it was yesterday. How did you go from a Division I college where you would think, okay, he's D1 guy, he's going to the NFL, to a D3 school, John Carroll, little small John Carroll in Ohio? How did that transaction come about, which led to the Mr. Irrelevant title?
Well, my friend, I mean, it was quite an adventure. You know, I got a scholarship, obviously, to play football at Pitt. That did not work out the way I had anticipated. Ended up transferring, as you said, to John Carroll University, which is about 10 minutes from where I grew up. Played there for 2 years and was fortunate enough to get drafted. It was quite an adventure. It really was. You know, Division III is a very different ball game, as I know you know, than D1. I actually had to slow myself down to kind of, you know, be able to be at the same level as, you know, speed and things of that nature. So it took a while. It was quite a transition. But, again, it worked out, and it being drafted was among the, you know, the great honors and joys of my life. It was awesome.
So tell us about you once you transferred over to John Carroll, again, way smaller school, but you're back in Ohio, which is your home, right? That worked out good for you. But how does the NFL find a D3 guy, little John Carroll, and then also who found you?
You know what? It was funny. I had some success there, threw for quite a few yards, and, you know, they'll find you anywhere. I mean, there were scouts coming in and out all the time my senior year. I mean, probably seven or eight teams were in quite a bit, watching films, coming to practice. But I felt like the Buffalo Bills, the Browns, and the Giants paid the most attention. And I was actually kind of surprised, too, to be frank with you, because once you make that switch to D3, you know, in the back of your mind, you're kind of, you know, releasing some of those dreams of playing at the next level, you know, the pro game. So, you know, it was pretty cool. I got to be honest with you. And, you know, Giants came in a lot and worked me out several times. I played in an All-American Cup Classic game after the season and ended up starting in that, playing pretty well. A lot of scouts there, too. So I think that helped my cause in terms of ultimately getting drafted.
So now, do you go out and get an agent? Like, what happens after that senior year at John Carroll? Do you know, because you had kind of said, I've got my degree, I'll go ahead and go to work and this and that. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, wait a minute, I might make it. You're playing this game. Like, what do you do? Do you go out and, I mean, because for Mr. Irrelevant, you're not getting driven or flown to the Heisman or this or that. So, again, I'm amazed that. Who was the first person that – was it a scout that found you? Was it the general manager of the Giants? Go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? My coach just called me in midway through the season and said, hey, listen, the Buffalo Bills were in today. And I was like, really? And then that kind of started it. And as I said, several other teams came in. And frankly, I didn't look for an agent at all. They kind of sought me out. And I settled on a guy, quite honestly, I forgot his name, but he was a younger guy, startup, a lot of energy. And, I did sign with him. And if you're interested in my mighty signing bonus as a rookie, Mr. Irrelevant, it was $10,000, which
wow.
Was pretty comical. Yeah, it was a ton of money to me at that point. I was like, this is awesome. I actually utilized that to buy my first rental property, but that was what I made, and I heard you talking before I jumped on, and there was no additional signing bonus or dollars for being Mr. Irrelevant. That was mayhem. You go down there, Newport Beach, California, and I'm telling you, from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight, they had you on some press junket. It was crazy. Hardest thing in the world to try to get prepared for camp, which was, you know, rapidly approaching. But it was nuts. It was, I mean, I was in a Disneyland parade. I was the Grand Marshal. I mean, they had you
So hold on, Larry.
Yeah.
So walk us through that slow. So here's what happened. They call your name out. Now, was the draft, did you hear your name on ESPN? Or did you, like as the draft is going on, round 5, round 6, what are you doing? Are you sitting by the TV? Or, you know, walk us through every moment of that.
Sure. It was exciting because there were some indications that I may get drafted, just simply by some of the people that I talked to, by my agent, okay? But we weren't watching on TV because I think back then that second day wasn't even on, you know. But we had some people over just hanging out, really, you know, not so much anticipating getting drafted, but it was just kind of getting together and having fun with the whole thing. And I get a call from, it was a gal, and she said, hi, this is so-and-so. She said, I just want to let you know that the New York Giants have selected you with, you know, whatever the pick it was. And I thought it was a prank. I thought it was one of my buddy's girlfriends or something like that. So, I'm listening, but, you know, I'm tempered with my response. And the more she talked, I'm like, oh, my God, this is legit.
This is real.
I just got drafted. Absolutely. And I'll tell you, Keith, the funny thing is, you know, as a kid growing up, my dream, my goal was to get drafted. It wasn't to be in the Hall of Fame and have this extended career. I just wanted to get drafted. So literally, and frankly, looking back, I probably should have had a little loftier goals. Who knows? Maybe I'd have played in the league a little bit longer. But at that moment, it was this emotion that came over me of, oh my gosh, my dream is in front of me. And I started, you know, I teared up a little bit. I was on the stairwell because there were people in my house, you know, so I was trying to get away from the crowd. And I remember, you know, coming around the bend a little bit. And the first one I saw was my mom. And I just shook my head and got drafted. She starts crying. My friends are going crazy. 10 minutes later, our local news channels were coming over to the house. I mean, it was just an amazing moment in my life. I mean, one that I will never forget. And to transition into the Mr. Irrelevant thing, they called like 5 minutes later, and I had never heard of that. I didn't know what Mr. Irrelevant was. I thought it was another prank. I'm like, yeah, here we go. You know, somebody's having a hell of a time.
Now, who made that call? Was that call from the NFL, you know, New York offices, or is it the Giants themselves? Who actually called you? How in the heck did they find your number? Like, this is something else here. Let me just remind our listening audience, they're listed to the Extra Points Radio Show. Our real special guest here, Mr. Irrelevant, Larry Wonky. And Larry, pick back up again now. So what's happened now is you got the call to be drafted, and then someone else called to start telling you about the Mr. Irrelevant activities. Who made that call?
You know what? It was a gal from the Irrelevant organization. The gentleman's name who runs it is Paul Salata. And I think for years and years, he was the one that stood up, you know, down at Denver, wherever the heck they had the draft, and he would announce the last player. Well, he may have done that with me, but again, I didn't see that. But someone calls from their organization, and you don't believe it if you're not familiar with it. So after a while, I'm like, my gosh, here we go again. These guys are serious, and they're inviting you out to Newport Beach. Explain that, hey, we do this huge thing. It's kind of the, you know, reverse to the Heisman. I actually got a trophy. It's called the Lozman Trophy, and that trophy is given to the last player selected in the
NFL
draft.
Wait a minute. I get it. So the Lozman
for
the Wow. What does the trophy look? Someone said it's fumbling a ball or something.
That's exactly what it is. It's a really nice trophy. It kind of shines like the Heisman. Unfortunately, the guy's dropping the ball instead of posing. So yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of comedy associated with the whole process, but it's a big deal, and they make a big deal out of it. You know, when you get down there, I came in on a boat, like a yacht, and I don't know, there's probably 300-400 people.
Wait a minute. Back up.
Am I going too fast?
You were in Ohio, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Correct.
So how did you get to California?
So here's what you got. They call you up. They make you aware of this Irrelevant Week. They ask you if you would like to participate and certainly say, absolutely, sounds like a blast. Unfortunately, it comes really close to when camp is, okay? But nonetheless, it's a great honor. We agreed to do it, and I actually went down there with my mom. And frankly, I think they flew us down. I don't think it was on our dime.
Yeah.
I think they flew myself and my mom down. They put you up in nice accommodations, okay? But it's literally this kind of press junket, like carnival atmosphere when you get down there. As I said, we flew in right from the plane. They pick you up. They took me and my mom to this yacht. We take this yacht into this other location where you're being greeted like you just, you know, won the Super Bowl or something. They're chanting your name. It was from the second this thing started, Keith, it was mayhem. It was great. I mean, it was a blast. It was just this kind of ceremonial, half joke, half great job type thing, and with just event after event that I participated in Newport Beach, you know, until the week was over. But it was amazing. Like I said, I was a grand marshal in a Disneyland parade where I'm waving to the kids, and yeah, literally. I mean, it was crazy. They did a roast.
All right.
Go ahead.
And this is a whole week of activities. You're out there all week in California. Wow.
Yes, you are.
So now
you're running. No,
you said that
you're running from 6 o'clock in the morning till 10. I mean, you're doing something. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Does the organization give you? They pay you, or the Giants pay you? How does that all work out?
No. I don't think there's any affiliation with Mr. Irrelevant and whatever team selects you. Actually, Mr. Irrelevant is, you know, Paul Salata's brainchild, and it's almost like this little mini organization, and they do fundraisers and things of that nature. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you're kind of just
the
athlete who's the catalyst in there, but ultimately it's for a good cause. You know, you're at this fundraiser, that fundraiser, and really, you know, the guys, it was just, like I said, a kind of a clever little brainchild of Paul Salata that honors the last pick. Throws a great party for him, and it's done for charities in various ways. So it's a separate entity from you know, the team that selects you.
Now, it's funny because just looking at your bio here, you were picked And this was in 1991, so there were still 12 rounds in the NFL.
Right.
You know, now there are only seven. So you were picked 334th.
That's right.
Which, you know, I mean, that's down the food chain, but I mean, truth be told, the guys that played in front of you at the University of Pittsburgh didn't get picked at all. So kudos to you, Larry Wonky, for your perseverance and really being smart enough to make that transfer. I think that was really, you know, what ignited you. So now, and let me just say again, Extra Points Radio showed our guest, Larry Wonky, Mr. Irrelevant. Now, so now you all the partying's over with, and now it's time to get to work. So I hope you weren't late for camp, but tell us then when you report to the Giants training camp, then what?
Well, you get down there, and you go to a rookie mini camp first, and that was down at the stadium down there in New York. You're there for a couple of days. That went real well. But then when you get to physical camp, obviously you're with the big boys. The whole team's there. So I got there, and I was suite mates with Hostetler, Kavanaugh, and Phil Simms. And one other guy, kind of like a suite that you stay in. Didn't really see them, but it was amazing. I mean, here you are, you know, you're literally pseudo roommates with these guys that you've been watching for years. The guy's just coming off a Super Bowl win, and here you
well,
are.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, it was amazing. It was fantastic. I'll never forget. Well, I used to be like the food runner, so I'd be taking one of their, you know, Escalades or whatever cars they had to go get sandwiches late night, stuff like that. So I was the little gopher, but it was awesome. You got out of camp a little bit at night, driving a sweet car, you know, kind of waving at people. It was cool.
Let me go through those names. Yeah. Let me go through those names again. Matt Kavanaugh
yep.
went to Pitt.
Wow, he did.
I'm going to see him later on today. He's the offensive coordinator of the Washington Redskins now.
Yeah.
But I've been staying in touch with Matt since he went back to Pitt as a coach. And then you said Jeff Hostetler, who went to West Virginia. So, you know, we couldn't stand West Virginia. So that must have been really interesting for you to be roommates with those guys. Now, you said there was another guy. So were you fourth string?
There was another free agent signee. And myself, actually, there was two other free agent signees, Phil Simms, Matt Kavanaugh, and Jeff Hostetler. So, you know, you were pretty loaded in the quarterback department.
Yeah.
You really were.
Oh, yeah. And we know what Phil Simms went on to do with the Giants. So you were in some big-time company here. So now –
Absolutely.
All right. So now you get to practice. Now, are the photographers and cameras still on you, or you're just – like, nobody knows who you are now. You're just a guy.
Yeah. At that point, the whole irrelevant thing was kind of an afterthought. I mean, they were just diving into camp. I mean, here you go. You got your New York Giants defending Super Bowl champs. There were some storylines that were, you know, considerably more, interesting than mine was. So not so much
right.
that. You know, but getting in there, and I remember, I think it was the second day, I remember calling home to my mom and saying, you know, we just did drills all day. You're throwing routes and all kinds of stuff. Just you know, preliminary stuff as you're working into camp. And I remember calling my mom and saying, I can throw with these guys. I can throw with these guys. And it was like this amazing feeling of saying, my gosh, this is crazy. You know, do I have a chance of making this team? Obviously, it was early in camp, but it was like, whoa.
Sure.
And then I'll tell you what, Keith, I'd say 3 days later, I watched Phil Simms complete, I would say, 99 out of 100 passes throughout the course of a practice. It was unlike anything I've ever seen.
Wow.
He was so efficient with everything he did. And it was just an amazing thing to see, you know, not only as a young athlete who just got drafted, you know, but just as a fan of the game, just watching someone who had such a, you know, incredible success in the NFL right next to him, watching him do what he does and just seeing his command and just how smooth and quick. That sticks out in my mind for camp, just watching him be, you know, as impressive as he was. And he's not going to go down in NFL history as one of the greats. So just imagine.
No,
you know,
not at all.
Yeah. I mean,
but he's got Super Bowls, though.
He sure does. Yeah. And if he's not one of the greats, I can't even imagine how smooth and amazing some of the greats were in practice. You know what I mean? It was just pretty cool to be a part of.
So tell us now, how does it all come crashing down? I've heard stories, and I've had to do this myself. I've had to go tap on people's lockers and pull their bags out and tell them, here's your ticket, see you later.
Yep.
How does that all go down?
The cut was this. Charlie Weiss, you know the name, right?
Charlie Weiss.
He was the cut man.
He was on that staff?
Yeah. He was. Okay. Yep, he was on that staff, and obviously became infamous after that, you know, with pro teams, then certainly, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame head coach.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
Offensive coordinator
absolutely.
At the Patriots, sure. Uh-huh.
Right, right, and I'm sure you know his history better than I. But he was the hatchet man, and you got a knock on the door. God, it was probably 5 o'clock in the morning, and you knew what it was. And he grabbed myself and my immediate roommate, which was a free agent from a smaller school too. And he asked, and he said, "Hey, you know, grab your playbook. Coach wants to see you." And that's when you knew your time was up. And you go down, and who's the coach? It was Ray. God, was Ray Hanley? I want to say it was Ray Hanley.
Okay.
He wasn't there long. But he's the one that you sat down with. He was, very professional. Thanked you for coming out. Said, listen, I think you should stick with this. You've got a skill set, blah, 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 blah. But we had a nice little meeting. And then they send you off. And literally, you don't go back to the locker room. You don't go anywhere. You've got your clothes on your back that you brought to camp. And they're taking you directly to the airport. Already got the flights booked, blah, 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 and then you're heading home. And your dream has just been crushed. But, it was an amazing experience. I mean, Lawrence Taylor was on that team. I'll never forget walking down a corridor at night. Can't remember where I was going, what I was doing, but I turned the corner, and Lawrence Taylor's right in front of me, literally. And it's like, oh, my God,
wow.
He's a legend. You know what I mean? So it was – and I was a little bit wide-eyed at some of this stuff, and it was cool. It was just a great experience. No question about it.
Well, we got Giant fans listening to us right now on the Extra Points Radio show. So I would have made a Lawrence Taylor crack, but I won't. So now let me say this to you. Once you get waived and this and that, are you able to make money now with this Mr. Irrelevant? Do you go to the Canadian? Do you go to Arena? Or what do you do? Because I mean, now you're doing big things now in Ohio. How did you? What happened then?
Well, you know what? I came back. My agent there was an opportunity to go to Canada. That's not something I really wanted to do. And frankly, I left John Carroll earlier. I had not graduated yet. I had a year in.
Okay.
So I wanted to finish up school, which I ended up doing. But had an opportunity to go to the World League. Got my passport. Got drafted by some team. However they did that. And then it ended up going defunct. So that never materialized. So what I ended up doing is being in school, and I ended up coaching at John Carroll, just being a quarterback coach. I loved it. It was really nice of the coach to allow me to do that. So I stayed there for about 2 years and helped coach and to transition. But I'll tell you, Keith, at that level, one of two things has to happen. Number one, you have to be so incredibly gifted. Just really, really good, okay? Or you got to want it with your very fiber. And frankly, I don't think I checked either of those boxes. I loved the game, but it wasn't my life. And I don't think that skill set-wise, I was the best of the best, I think I was really good.
Right.
Could it have happened? Maybe it could have under a different circumstance. But at that point, I was like, I don't want to chase something for the next 5-6 years that doesn't make my heart beat really fast every morning. You know what I mean? So then I just transitioned into laymanhood or whatever you want to call it. But, yes, absolutely.
Right. Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard, along with our special guest, Mr. Irrelevant, Larry Wonky. Now, it's funny you mentioned the World League of American Football, because the guy that wrote the playbook for that league was the guy that recruited you, Mike Godfrey. So it's kind of funny how small the world is. And of course, Coach Godfrey, Coach Godfrey ended up getting fired at Pittsburgh. So he was unceremonious. You left on your own accord. He didn't. And so so it's funny, just
right.
Funny how the game, how the game works. So now let me ask you this, because you said you coached. And I know you're an Ohio guy, and I know you're a Cleveland Browns guy. You had my guy RG3 there, and they told him to beat it. They've had more quarterbacks than their share. what's going on with the brownies? Will that thing ever get fixed? I mean, it's been bad since Viner fumbled when you were a kid. Is this thing ever going to get
don't
fixed?
Remind me. You don't remind me. And you know what? My answer to you is I hope so. You have a town in Cleveland that is so starving for a competitive football team. I mean, you can't turn on sports talk radio without people calling in, you know, calling for the owner's head, the coaches. I mean, we just need to get competitive. And the quarterback situation, obviously, is the most important and critical position on the team, and we haven't gotten that right yet. So, and I'm not sure we have it right yet, quite frankly. You know, you got Brock Osweiler. You probably saw him on Thursday. Unceremonial in terms of his debut.
Yeah.
I don't think Kessler played particularly well, and I thought Kizer did some really nice things when he came in. I think he played the entire second half. You know, showed his deep ball arm. He showed that he can really throw the ball. He looked really poised in the pocket. So a lot of us are hoping that, hey, we found our future. We just got to nurture him and get him ready to go. He made some mistakes. I thought he held on to the ball too long a few times, which a lot of people are overlooking because of the, you know, the nice touchdown throw. But hey, you know, that's why you have preseason. That's what happens with a rookie's progression. So that we've got some optimism, Keith. But in terms of our history, yeah, there's a lot of a lot of pain we've endured over the years. No question about it.
Yeah. I out of the three guys you named, I like Cody Kessler. I followed him in his college career. I think he's the best of the three. But I also don't like rookie players, so, oh, well, there goes Kizer.
Sure.
But, you know, we'll see what happens. But I was disappointed that RG3 didn't work out. I'm a big, big RG3 fan. I loved him when he was here in Washington. I understand, you know, he's got injury in that. But that team just wasn't talented. I don't care if it was Joe Montana, Larry Wonky. I don't care who it was at quarterback. They couldn't
hit. You said it.
But I think they're starting to build some pieces. You know, and maybe hold on to him, but they cut him like a bad habit. So any chance the coach makes it there? Do you think the coach will make it, or will they scrap that as well?
You know, I think we like him. You know, I mean, the community certainly does. I think they're absolutely willing to give him, you know, a chance here. And I hope they give him enough of a chance because, as you said, we're rebuilding. But if you look at our offensive line, okay, there's some excitement around that. And if you got an offensive line, you got something. I mean, I think that's got to be the basis of any team. And going back to RG3, I couldn't agree with you more. I loved him. And you could have put anybody behind center last year. And frankly, they were not going to be successful. So it's really hard, I think, to, you know, gauge a guy when you don't have the pieces around you. And that's what has been our struggle for many, many years. I'm not saying we've gotten studs, you know, here at quarterback, but you know, that's gonna cut you off at the knees if you don't have a supporting cast. And we've been wrestling with that for years. So hopefully this year, the offensive line will be the catalyst of, you know, something that we can build. And that's, I think, what Cleveland's optimism is this year.
Well, I tell you what, you know, and Larry, it's been great catching up with you. And, you know, for our listening audience who don't know who they're listening to, you're listening to not just a quality guy, but a class act. I shared a locker room and a sideline with this guy during really tough days, and I watched him work hard, and he never complained. And that's what I looked up and admired about you was, you know, you were, in my opinion, just as good as the other guys there. But you, you know, you never complained. And I didn't see how you did it every day. Come out there, I'm throwing the ball just as far. I remember a spring game where you were an afterthought, and when we got back in the locker room, all the coaches were going, and Wonky was the best one we had, you know. But then Monday when we come back to practice, Wonky was third. And I just didn't get it. But it made me understand the politics of big-time college football. But you made it work for you. You made a decision. You stuck by that decision. You made your own opportunity, and I hope our listening audience sees that. You made your own opportunity, and now you're doing great things in your community. And I tell you, man, we're glad to have you on the show. We're honored to have you on the show, and you can come back anytime. You're very relevant to us, very relevant.
I appreciate that, my friend, and I had a good time. I really enjoyed it. It's always good talking to you, buddy. It really is.
Very good. Larry Wonky, Mr. Relevant to me. Larry Wonky, we appreciate you joining the Extra Points Radio Show.
Thank you. Take care.
I tell you, man, that big time sports stuff, it can eat you up if you let it. That guy did not let it, and you heard him say football didn't define him, and you can hear it in his story. So what a great, great story, Larry Waalke. Google him. It's a pretty neat story. So, hey, real quick, two-minute warning before we get – no, you know what? Let's go to our Redskins recap. And before we do that, you know, the Skins, they traveled up the Beltway to Baltimore the other night, took on John Harbaugh and the Ravens, minus Joe Flacco, but with Terrell Suggs, T. Sizzle, in his last season with the Ravens. And this is all I got to say about the Skins' performance. You guys haven't heard this music in quite some time. This clip is actually for Super Referee Craig Muckle, who's a contributor to the show. But let me tell you something. The only words I got for the Redskins for the other night is you suck. They absolutely stunk, in my opinion. They look like a 3-13 team. And like I said, the coach is on the, I don't want to say the hot seat, but he's definitely on the warm seat. That was a lackluster performance for guys that call themselves trying to make it in the NFL. Are you kidding me? First of all, let's look at the offense. Cousins was, I don't know, it looked like rusty. It was only about 8 plays, but I know one of them was a fumble. So that wasn't very good. I don't think there was any separation at running back other than I think the Oklahoma kid will eventually be the starter. And his pass protection was pretty good. I think he's going to be a really good player. He also can catch out of the backfield. I think he ends up being a starter. But they got so many running backs, they're going to have to cut some of these guys. They're good. They're all good. But there's no great running back on the Redskins. The receivers, you know what, uneventful. Sure, they've got depth at tight end. Okay, great. But once Reed comes back, no one cares who's backing him up. The offensive line, I thought, is should be positioned on the team. They didn't look like it. And I know they're playing the Ravens, who, you know, a lot of exotic blitzes and just really, really fundamentally sound on the defensive side. But the Redskins looked confused. They did look in better shape. But from an X's and O's and execution standpoint, I was not impressed with the offense at all. I know it's preseason, Redskin fan. I get it. I'm going to watch practice today and see if you look any better. But I wasn't impressed on the defensive side. I thought the safety play was okay. But, you know, Sua Cravens got an injury. So don't know how long he'll be out. I'm sure it'll be a couple weeks on him. DJ Swearinger did look good, but they'll go with backups on the other side for a little while. And then, of course, you've got linebacker Roe Trent Murphy, who was already out for a performance-enhancing drug test failure. Now he has torn his ACL and MCL. He's out for the year. So, and oh, by the way, he was second on the team in sacks last year with 9 as a non-starter. So for him to be out is a huge, huge loss to the Skins. Junior Gallette also has an injury again. It's not a catastrophic one like an Achilles, but he's going to miss some practice time. The linebacker row wasn't very good. And then the D-line, 2 free agents they picked up in the offseason were just okay. I mean, I think the D-line, believe it or not, has regressed from last season. They didn't want to pay Big Swaggy Baker. They sent him packing. And so, you know, I just thought the best thing about the team was what it's always been, Tress Way, the punter. And that's not good when your punter is the best thing you got. So I'm sticking to my prediction that they're going to be 3-13, and I think that coach is going to be on the hot seat. If you look at the schedule again, if you look at that schedule, they could start out 1-4 before the bye week. If they're 1-4 before the bye week and Cousins is getting paid and Gruden is getting paid, this fan base is going to turn. And I think the fan base is already, I look around today, there's not a lot of people out here. This fan base is starting to really get fed up with the way this team is led and run. And I know we got Doug Williams picking our players going forward, but something's got to give. They got to win some football games. So hopefully next week they look a little bit better as we go through the preseason. So why don't we do our two-minute warning? Two-minute warning today is pretty easy. It's all about being relevant. And so if you get an opportunity like Larry Waalke or like my football team, the Bishop Ireton Cardinals today. They're going up against Carroll High School, the Carroll Lions. Hey, you've got an opportunity. Make that opportunity relevant to you. Make it be relevant. You don't want to be irrelevant. But even when you are, if you're irrelevant, hey, make your own opportunity in life, and that'll make you relevant. We got some quick predictions. Did pretty well last week, 3-0 last week, so we're back in good graces with our predictions. I'm predicting again that Colin Kaepernick will not get drafted by this time next week. He'll still be sitting at home listening to the Extra Points radio show. Matter of fact, I ought to have him on. He's not doing anything. I ought to reach out to him, see if he wants to come on and talk about, you know, his whole situation. So I'm predicting he will not be picked up. I see that Ryan Tannehill for the Miami Dolphins season-ending injury, and they went out and got Jay Cutler. They did not. He's over the Red Sox. Yankees won a big one last night. That's a big divisional rivalry, and in a race that's already heated up. The Yankees got a big one last night. I think they win again today over the Red Sox. And I got the Nats, if the rain stays away, I got the Nets winning. They got a doubleheader tomorrow, but I got them winning tonight over the San Francisco baseball Giants. So, hey, if you are looking for someone to come out and be a speaker for your team, organization, please look me up at www.extrapointllc.com. If you go on there, you'll see some of my signature speeches. One of them is Dream On. Dream On is my 7 ways to winning, which is, I can't tell you over the air. Yeah, I can tell you over the air. Discipline, respect, education, achievement, motivation, organization, and networking. That is the way to win. And if you want to read up on that, buy my book. That's right. Buy my book. It's cheap online. If you go to Amazon, it's a little expensive. If you buy it in an audience with me where I'm signing it, it's a little bit more expensive. But if you go to my website, get that thing for $15.99, have it shipped to you, I'll sign it before I ship it out, and it's yours. It's a great read. We sold a few more again this week. We're proud of that. So please do. If you haven't read it, go out and get it. It's a good story, a great story. I'm about just a guy. Right, just a guy who happened to lose $15 million in his lifetime, happened to be a dad, happened to be a coach. So it's a great read. Also, if you're trying to reach us, if you got an idea for a show, you want to be a part of the show in any way, you can reach us on Twitter at Extra Points LLC. You can reach us on Twitter at Extra Points LLC. Or, of course, you can reach us on email, Coach. COACH, coach at Extra Points LLC. This week, having listener call in again. We won't be doing it from Redskins training camp, but we are looking to have some listeners call in, and we'll talk about anything. If you want to talk about baseball, we got pennant races are right around the corner. We can do that. You want to talk off-season NBA, we love doing that. Of course, the football season is right here, and we've got college football. Well, high school football has already started, especially if you're private school. The public start August 15th, which is this week. And then the colleges are already in 2-a-days, getting ready, just fine-tuning now for their upcoming games. I know Pittsburgh got Penn State, and I'm concerned about my Pitt Panthers. I think Coach Narduzzi is doing a good job, but he's got some character guys on there that he's had to deal with. So I think Penn State wins that game. That's an early prediction. It pains me to say it, but it's true. It's true. So, hey, we're going to head on out to the practice field here and check out our Redskins. What we're looking for today really is we want to see how many reps the backups get. Nate Sudfeld did not play well. He's the third string guy for the Skins. Did not play well the other night against the Ravens. Again, it's no easy task to go against the Ravens, but he didn't play well. Colt McCoy was a little rusty as well. So it'll be interesting to see how many reps these guys are getting in practice. Be good to see Josh Dotson. You know, he's been often injured, so be good to see him. And Terrell Pryor's getting a lot of fanfare. Be great to see him as well out on the practice field. So looking forward to that. Hope these guys hit today a little bit, see how physical practices can be. I know NFL practices usually aren't very physical, so we'll see if they get after it a little bit today. I want to wish good times, good luck, and hard work to my Bishop Ireton Cardinals. Thinking about you guys today, I'm unable to be out at your scrimmage, but I know you'll do well, and I look forward to watching the film with you. So best of luck to the Bishop Ireton Cardinals today. So, hey, we look forward. Tell more and more listeners about us. Please tell one person to listen to the Extra Points radio show and watch the show grow. It continues to grow. And hopefully in the near future, via YouTube, you'll be able to actually see the Extra Points radio show. That's something we're working on. We've been working on that, and I think you'll really enjoy what we do. So, hey, for all those who listen week in and week out, we appreciate you. I know my man Kingsley out there in New York. I know he's listening. Kingsley, thank you. Nobody listens more than Kingsley. Appreciate you. And, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take us on out of here with, of course, our Extra Points radio show theme song, which will never, ever change. We love that song. DMX, take us out here. All right, Redskins, I'm coming to see you. As always, the extra point is up, and it is good.
Vintage moment in it.